With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. It's a lovely, lovely Wednesday here in
Pittsburgh. It is lovely. The weather's been great lately.
Beautiful. You know,
post-Easter, it's been a good week.
I wish you would just stay like this year-round.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. I'm a four-seasons guy, but this
I like
is
four
probably
seasons,
my
but, you know, yeah. If we get a couple of days of snow, and then it goes back to this.
And then it goes back to this. Yeah, it's not so bad. You hit the golf course at all?
I have not. I've been too busy with work and everything. I looked the other night.
You do?
We're in like 6 days into April, and I've already written like 14 stories.
Wow, there's not that much happening.
Did like three radio shows and
sure.
A bunch of podcasts. And just,
never ends.
We're out of season.
We're out of season.
There's nothing going on.
Yeah, we did our podcast yesterday or day before. The crux of it was, this is what teams do. They crawl in and they start getting into their caves and their war room. And we hit, unrecorded.
Please do. get in your right. War room and stop making news.
Right. And as soon as we ended the podcast, Sam Darnold was traded to the Panthers. I'm like, oh, Jesus. It's fun.
I talked to some people in the Panthers organization, and they were like, that kind of ruined their day.
Yeah.
But anyway, so one of the stories that I ended up having to write yesterday was regarding Steven Nelson and his departure
that
from the Steelers.
Yeah.
He earlier in the day, he had gone on Sirius XM with Pat Kerwin and Jim Miller and on their NFL show and said that he asked for the Steelers for an extension. They said, no, we're not interested in doing that right now.
Okay.
But he
signed through next year. He'd have been a free agent.
He was signed. Yeah, he'd have been a free agent after this year.
Yeah.
He then said that he felt that he had outplayed his contract with the Steelers. Now, mind you, he was going to make $8.25 million in new money this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good deal.
It's a pretty significant amount of money.
And the corners are pricey, and every down starting corners don't grow on trees. I get that.
Then he said that they never asked him to take a pay cut before releasing him. Well, Steven, if you're asking them for an extension and you think that you outplayed your contract, why in the world would I ask you to take a pay cut to stay? Because you're not going to do that.
That's usually not how negotiations go.
Not typically. I want this and it's more money. Well, we'd actually like you to take a pay cut. Well, no. I think I'm worth this money.
Options. Yeah. Right. If I'm stuck in this job and that's all I can do and times are tough and COVID's hit, that's not how the NFL works, though. I mean, he's going to get a job somewhere.
So later in the day, and I'd written a couple weeks ago in my Insider that, they wanted Cam Sutton when they signed him to compete with Steven Nelson for a starting job on the outside.
Okay. They're high on Sutton.
They're high on Sutton.
They want him to play all the time.
And he was a free agent. He had other offers.
Right.
But that
was their priority, obviously.
That was their priority. Yep. He had other offers to go other places and have the potential to start outside. They could have said, "Well, no, we think you're the, we're going to give you the slot position because Mike Hilton's gone.
Mm-hmm.
We think you can handle
We've
that.
We've seen you do that and do it well.
Yeah,
right.
But we don't think you can handle playing outside. Well, then he'd sign somewhere else.
Right. So hopes are higher than you're just a slot
because
guy.
Because outside guys make more money. In general,
for sure.
It's a higher profile. Though, you're on the field 100% of the time.
Right. You're an every down player.
So. The Steelers, Steven Nelson.
And that's not even a knock on Nelson necessarily.
No.
He played well here.
Right.
Just like Sutton.
But he wasn't interested in doing that.
Okay, competing. I don't want to compete for the starting job.
If you think you're the – and he told me. Here's this quote that he told me. He reached out to me later in the evening. He said, why would the highest paid corner on the team ride the bench? Now, I never said anything about him riding the bench. I said he would compete for a job.
It's not like he would not play.
He said, I've never ran from any competition. It's no knock on Cam, but I'm the best, was the best corner on the team. This is a simply called a cap casualty situation. Yes and no.
Yes and no. Because they could have picked Hayden.
Right. They could have gone with Joe Hayden.
I mean, if they desperately needed the money and that's the only way they could survive, they could have cut somebody else.
Who's 32.
Right.
Releasing Joe Hayden would have saved them $7 million against the cap as opposed to $8.25 million against the cap for Steven Nelson.
An older player.
It's an older player. If they had thought that Steven Nelson was remarkably better.
If he's clearly the one.
Yeah, if he's the one, then you release Joe Hayden because he's 32, and you're only saving 1.2. You're saving, or it's costing you an additional $1.25 million. But they could make that up somewhere else.
Right, that's not that big a deal.
Yeah,
right?
And they're $12 million under the cap.
Yeah, they're not up against it like they had been.
Right. So
interesting.
You know, I
think they could have floated three pretty big corner contracts.
Right.
You know,
but they weren't interested in extending him past this year.
Well, don't you think in general they don't want a lot of long-term contracts right now?
That seems to be. I think everybody, and it might be a league-wide thing because everybody. Well, what's the cap going to be in 2 or 3 years?
Right, and I just think that this team's in a crossroads or a rebuild. It's just they want to be very fluid a year.
You want to have the flexibility if that cap goes. Let's say it goes up to $230 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you don't want to have $215 million in salaries already tied up.
Right, and they might sign Dak Prescott. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, oh, by the way,
a guy like that.
In the next 2 years, they're going to have to sign T.J. Watt, and they're going to have to sign Minkah Fitzpatrick. Mm-hmm. Those are going to be two pretty big deals. Now, you can...
You got to find a quarterback.
And you got to find a quarterback.
Right.
You know, to me, I
think they'll be very fluid in a year from now and in the future.
And the thing is... You know, you like Cam Sutton enough that you made him a priority re-signing.
Mm-hmm.
They signed him on the first day.
Oh, that was clearly job one.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, the rest of it, they didn't have to cut Steven Nelson.
No. I mean, so I get the feeling you think that if Nelson would have been like, okay, I'm open to competition, maybe we can talk contract extension down the road, you think he might still be here.
Perhaps, but again, from his perspective, I'm 20. I just turned 28.
Mm-hmm.
The cap
doesn't have a lot of years left.
They're not in a lot of years left for me in the league. The cap's going to go up next year. If I lose this battle to Cam Sutton, and all of a sudden now I'm a part time. I'm playing 60% of the snaps. Even if I come in the dime or nickel and dime, and I'm playing outside, and Sutton moves inside. I'm still a part-time player.
Right.
People are going
stock
to view
dropped.
Yeah, people are going to view me differently.
Right, yeah. 100% true. And they just, obviously, he might think he's better than Sutton, but the Steelers might disagree because they just gave Sutton money.
Yeah.
You know, obviously
and Sutton's 26. Like,
Sutton's 26. And
you know,
he competes with him every day and knows he's good.
I'll also say this. The Bills game last year.
Okay.
They didn't have Joe Hayden for the game.
Right.
And okay. So In that game, you saw Nelson lined up a lot
on Diggs,
and it didn't work out so well.
No, and most
and Diggs, does,
Diggs,
Diggs does that to a lot of people.
He does. I meant to say that earlier, though. Like, to say that you're the best corner on this team, I'm not saying he's even wrong. He might have been, but because they play sides. It's not as obvious. It's not as distinctive. There wasn't always – Minkah wasn't always on Hayden's side of the field. You know, they're pretty much asked to do similar things.
I do know in the past when they've had somebody travel a little bit, it's been Hayden.
It's been Hayden in history,
Yeah.
I'm also not saying Nelson was a bad team guy, but you know Hayden's a leader and
right.
a very strong team guy.
I've got nothing but respect for Steven Nelson.
I thought he played really well.
I thought he played well when he was here.
Yeah.
Watching him work on his own off the field and on the field, you know, a complete pro.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to sign the guy. Great. Good for him.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, he quite frankly came after me last night in DMs. And, you know, we talked it out, and I said, look, man, I got, I, I'm not making stuff up here.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I heard.
Right, right, right.
I reported what I heard. It is what it
That's
is.
That's your job, and yeah.
Yeah.
Quick note on that. What was I going to say about him? When it all went down, I thought the Steelers might have gone to him because he has played well and wanted to extend him. And he might have thought, I wanted to hit free agency after this year because my last big signing bonus payday. Apparently, that's not the way it
well,
went.
Well, again, if he goes to him and says, I'd like to talk about an extension, and yeah. Oh, by the way, I think I've outplayed my contract, so I want to raise.
He's going
to
want to raise, right?
Yeah.
It's similar. I mean, I guess it's the same thought process. It's,
yeah.
It's his last chance to get paid.
Then if you're the Steelers, you go, well, we were thinking pay cut. You know, we wanted to,
mm-hmm.
we wanted that
or
you
keep the same
or similar numbers, yeah,
yeah,
in that
yeah.
neighborhood because we're not going to pay you more than we're paying Joe.
Right. But
again, the yeah. way the Steelers do their business is they know who their number one guy is at every position. Now, rookie contracts don't count
because that's out of their control.
Right. But when TJ Watt signs his new deal,
he's going to be the highest paid edge guy.
He's going to be the highest paid edge guy, probably their highest paid defender.
Mm-hmm. There's not going to be a D lineman making more than
yeah,
Cam.
And they are not then going to go out and pay somebody in free agency more than what they're paying TJ Watt, which is what you would have to do to typically to sign
yes.
a defensive tackle or something like that. That's just not how they work. They were never, you know, when they had Troy Polamalu, he was always going to be their highest paid defensive back, regardless.
Right, right. I'm trying to think of how this could like affect things in the future. So let's say DeCastro has a really good year, back to the player we're expecting him to be, and Dotson doesn't work out or gets injured or whatever, O-line's a mess, and they have all this money. They're not going to go sign Joe Thuney to
no.
much more money than DeCastro.
No. Because,
it rocks the boat.
Yeah, it rocks the boat in the
yeah.
locker room. You're
right,
like,
right.
If you don't take care of your own guys,
mm-hmm.
they see that and you go, well, you went out and signed this free agent for all this money. I want more money.
I want more money, right.
You know, I've been here. I know the system. I've been a team player. You know, I took less mm-hmm. money in the past to perhaps, you know, I could have gotten on the open market. And now you're going out and signing this guy for more money and you're paying me. Well, I want that money.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've earned it, and that yeah. that goes down to generation to generation around here, and that works. I mean, I guess it would be more palatable if you go sign Walter Jones, you know, or
right.
Trent Williams. I mean, someone that was clearly the best
but
on the
But those
market.
Guys aren't typically available.
And then they're not Steelers
yeah.
either. Right? I mean, the Steelers never go get that guy, so it doesn't even matter. I mean, in general, though, teams can sell that to the room of, we went and found a rare player.
Right.
We're going to give him big money. But Joe Thuney isn't that guy.
You yeah. It's,
right.
I mean, who's the guard that Jacksonville signed a couple
right,
of
Right. Like Norwell.
Yeah.
Right, right.
You give Andrew Norwell $14 million a year, and he's an average guard.
Right. And it's not like they had a lot of other things. But if the Steelers would have done that, or, I don't know, the Dallas with Zach Martin or Indy with Quentin Nelson,
yeah.
they look over and be like, I'm better than him, and you're giving me, you know, I'm still on my original
right.
deal or whatever. Yeah, it just doesn't jive well. And everyone understands the business, but there's also personalities here and feelings and, you know, like, we got to coexist. And
it's
the
same,
balance, too.
It's the same thing in every market, like any job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you and I are doing the same job.
Right.
And I find out, well, geez, Matt's getting paid, you know,
double
what I'm getting.
Sure.
I'm not going to be happy about that.
Right, right, right.
Like, we're doing the same job.
Yeah, or you and I have been doing, killing it on the drive lately, right? And they go out and they sign two dudes from Kansas City and L.A. to do another radio show, and they're paying
five
times
yeah.
more. You know,
like that's just,
hey.
Yeah, what about us? You could have
right.
given us some
same
of that
thing.
Money. Yeah.
Right, right, right. Same with any walk-away.
It upsets the apple cart, and that's
right,
what you
right,
don't
right.
want to do. You don't want to sow that kind of...
Especially
displeasure
in
your
environment.
Yeah.
You know?
It, when you got 53 guys and everybody knows what everybody else is making. That's the other part
mm-hmm.
of this. This isn't like, you know, a lot of places when you go, when you get a job. One of the things we like here is don't talk about how much you're getting paid.
Sure.
And that's pretty common around, you know, in a regular workforce. Well, in this situation, everybody knows what you're getting paid.
Right. I mean, think about all the different walks of life over the years where minorities or women were making a fraction of what, you know, others were making, and they didn't know it.
Right.
I mean, maybe they came up after drinks, you know,
right.
whatever, because the
and then what them. Happens? Well,
why am I making
I'm doing the same job.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, and the other part of it is, you know, you just, again, you can't upset the apple cart in the locker room. This is a situation where you see it all the time with these contracts that are signed. the numbers that are put out there aren't the true numbers.
No.
Oh, he got $75 million. Well, he's only going to see 40 of that.
That doesn't mean $75 million went into his bank account,
right?
Or ever will. Right.
But it's all about those optics.
Yes.
Because guys are interested in, well, I'm the highest paid offensive lineman in the league. Well, you are right now, and then when you get released in 2 years, you're not.
I mean, I think I mentioned Trent Williams. He's now the highest paid lineman in the league by $10,000.
Right.
He wanted to be number one.
He wanted to be number one.
$10,000, which is like a penny in the real world.
It might sound childish. It might sound,
it is.
Petty. But at one point I was, 10 years from now, at one point Trent Williams can say I was the highest paid offensive lineman in the league.
Yeah, right. Back to the corner room, though. With all respect to Joe, I think they want him to be the alpha in that room, and he's earned that.
Right.
But what if his play drops a little? I don't know if this will be his last year in town or not, but do they look to Sutton and think a year from now with no Nelson or Hayden, you're at least the alpha, maybe you're not our best player, maybe we drafted a guy who's super exciting or whatever, but... It's a little bit of a turning point in the corner room right now.
Well, here's the thing, and I actually just wrote a piece for Steelers.com about this and talked about it last night on another podcast. I see Cam Sutton as the next in line in the Deshae Townsend, William Gay, Cam Sutton lineage. If you look back, they drafted these guys in the mid rounds.
Sure.
They're all three of them are mid round picks. All three of them started out as slot cornerbacks.
You're the starter.
Yeah.
Right.
Learned the defense, learned how to play safety in the defense, you're the dime linebacker, you're the outside, you can play outside.
Teams.
Yeah. You're asked to do everything. And then those guys eventually become full-time starters on the outside as well.
And long-term Steelers.
And long-term Steelers who were there for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of those guys.
And can teach. And maybe not the most talented guy in the field. They're not the 4'2", 40 guy that's 6'1".
That's why they were mid-round draft picks.
Right.
But where they are talented is above the neck.
Without question. No, that's a good one. There's definitely some recency bias here, but I might take Sutton over those guys.
Yeah.
I think he might have a little higher ceiling.
I think
was pretty good.
They asked their corners to do different things now, too.
They're playing more man
than they – Deshae Townsend was a great zone cornerback.
Yeah, he fit what they wanted. Yeah, good point. No, he's exactly that.
Yeah, so – and if you look at it, all three of their careers overlap by a year or two. Townsend was here, and Gay was drafted at the end of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gay was here, and Sutton was drafted – in Gay's final year here. So
those aren't accidents.
Yeah.
It's the same GM. It's the same, it's the same logic. They realized how valuable Deshae and those guys were. Let's keep that going. We see the same traits in him. We love having him in the building. He's a positive influence.
He could play anywhere in that secondary.
Anywhere in the defense. And we often do this when we do mock drafts. So maybe it's time to get the next one that doesn't play much this year, or maybe it's next year's project.
Right.
There's another one coming then.
Right.
There's not going to be three in a row, and then we just forget it.
Get that mid-round corner whose best trait is above the neck.
Mm-hmm.
When you put him on the whiteboard, and he can draw up exactly what, I'm just going to pick a school, Clemson's defense did on.
Sure.
Here's what we did, what we were trying to do when we ran this defense. And he can tell you what every position on the field was supposed to do. Whereas you get some corners, my job was to cover this guy. I didn't care what anybody else was doing.
Green or whatever. It's funny because now I'm thinking about what we talked about, how we talked about Sutton when he was drafted, because I remember talking about he was a very good punt returner early in his career. He went to the Senior Bowl and played a lot of safety that week because I think they were short on safety. It's not like he was projected to be a safety. Obviously a lot of special teams background. He was a team captain at Tennessee. And I remember Mr. Rooney sat down with us after probably early day two of the draft, back when we were at the facility broadcasting, and hopefully we can get back to doing that. And the first thing he said about that draft class was, and this is when some of the AB things were going on, and there were some rumblings. He said, we want high-character team captain football guys.
Right.
He was like the perfect example. Yeah, I mean, that was Watt, and,
That's Cam Sutton in a nutshell.
Exactly. Yeah, it all adds up.
So, that's what they've trended towards over the years. It's again, maybe not the most flashy guy out there. He's not going to go out and...
Sure. He's Revis it up and play man coverage against Jerry Rice and Deion and Woodson and those guys.
But if that guy's your eighth best defensive starter and knows where, you know, gets everybody else lined up and does the, you know, those kind of things. That's, there's value in that.
Yeah. And those corners I mentioned, Patrick Peterson and Ramsey and those guys, they're not there at 24. They're not there when Kevin Colbert's usually making his first pick. And this is stereotypical, but a lot of those guys aren't necessarily team first players. That's an arrogant position. That's a kind of, there's a reason you're on that island. You're worried about yourself. I mean, heck, I helped recruit Revis to Pitt, and I was always in his corner. But that guy was a mercenary late in his career. I mean, he'd take whatever the most money
Deion
was.
Deion Sanders, you know, all those guys.
Right.
You know, you see that a lot at that position. Well, I can play in any defense because I'm going to line up and cover that dude.
Right. I mean, Ramsey caused waves in Jacksonville and trade him to the Rams.
But if you've got that kind of guy, you need players like a Sutton.
Yes, yes.
Who can do, you know, okay, we're going to flip-flop sides here.
Yeah.
Okay, I know what I'm doing over here.
And this guy went in motion, now who's got him, and right. No, without question.
You know, I always thought that, you know, Artie Burns physically had the talent to play cornerback in the Steelers system.
Yeah.
But it was the above the neck stuff that was the issue.
The adjustments.
You know, you'd see a broken coverage, and everybody else was playing zone, and Artie was still playing man. Vice versa, or something like, you know, he didn't pass somebody off at the right time, or didn't pick somebody up when they were passed off, and that's where the problems arose.
You have to understand the
concepts.
In another scheme, Burns might have worked out a lot better.
If he went to a team that played straight man,
you got him.
You got him.
Yep.
He's fine. Had the talent to do so.
And that, I remember that offseason, too. That was the summer, this time of year, all of us were talking about they need to play more man coverage because Brady's of the world pick them apart. And, you know, And they did, and they brought him in, but the defense got good without having to do that. They flipped so much. So he was a little bit of a square peg, round hole guy.
Yeah.
It happens a lot.
And I think that above the neck stuff, correct me if I'm wrong here, is that the most difficult thing to judge with a player?
Probably for a corner, too. You know, I mean, this is stereotypical too, but like I don't need my corners to necessarily be super smart. If the scheme dictates, they don't have to be that.
Right.
You know what I mean? The Steelers need smart football, and they might be smart off the field and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, right.
They need to be smart to recognize, understand how their assignments change on the fly. Because when I say matchup zones, those are, okay, it looks like zone coverage, but it quickly becomes man.
Right.
You know, like, I'm not passing him off to the linebacker on the crosser or the safety or whatever. In this instance, I got to run with him, and he's my dude all of a sudden. He came in my zone. He's not leaving my zone.
And the Steelers do that, play that a lot.
A lot.
And that's why, you know, when people are grading outside of the organization,
zones and stuff,
they don't know.
They don't know.
They have no idea.
Because it starts as zone. It starts as man. There's so many different coverages. I mean, I have a hard time with it. I mean, if you study, not to mention, if one guy makes a mistake, then us as evaluators have no clue what the coverage was.
Right,
you assume they're right, and if they're not right, they're like giving you the wrong answers to the test.
So it's all, you know, it goes back to, well, the Steelers can't draft cornerbacks or defensive backs. Where are they drafting them at?
I like your observation of Deshae, William Gay, Sutton. Similar pass that could do a lot of stuff, you know, smart.
They're Swiss Army knives.
Another one.
Yeah, Swiss Army knives. And I don't know that you can ever have enough of those guys.
No, I think you're right. Especially in today's
NFL. I mean, you'd prefer to have seven stars on the back end, but that's not realistic.
You're not gonna get that.
Yeah.
Right.
But if you've got those Swiss Army knives that can do a little bit of everything and do them at a credible enough job to, you know, that works too.
Yeah, I mean, in today's NFL, defenses are at such an advantage. This goes back to the linebacker conversations. I might rather have a defensive player, especially the back seven, that has fewer weaknesses than one that has great strengths.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they're going to pick on your weaknesses.
If I've got four guys back there in my two corners and two safeties who are pretty good across the board, but not maybe not great at anything.
Which, because really, Nelson, Hayden, and
I can have a pretty good defense if those four guys.
Yeah, right.
If I've got three guys who are average, or if I've got one guy who's really below average, he's going to get. They're going to find him.
Right. I mean, that was Bostic. That was Vince Williams. Yeah. You know,
they're going to find that. Teams are going to pick on that, and they're going to pick that scab and just keep picking at it until it bleeds.
And I know Terrell Edmunds has gotten some arrows from Steelers Nation. I don't think he's got the big weakness either. Like,
no.
The fact that he doesn't show up on tape. See, I think one thing that hurts him is he doesn't show up like on tape or on TV like Troy did. You think strong safety, he should be making plays.
Or he doesn't make the big plays that Minka does, you know?
Right, right, right. Yeah. Exactly. But he doesn't get picked on.
I don't think teams
scheme all week to, we can get guys on
Edmonds. Yeah, we could take advantage of Edmonds here.
Right,
or,
I don't see that week to week at all.
You know, and you don't see him
catches like everybody else, but right.
Missing a bunch of tackles and things of that nature.
No, right, right, right. He's a well-rounded player.
Yeah, so anyways, I just thought that was interesting.
About the draft, I bet that's what they're going to be after when they add another corner.
Yeah, you look in those middle rounds for a guy that, you know, can be that kind of player.
That kind of player.
You know, an inside-outside. You know, maybe he's your backup free safety or something like that.
Yeah, get you out of a game as a safety or whatever, right.
You know, if you can find those kind of guys, they have a lot of value until they eventually, if it happens, become a starter.
Yes. And they have a history of at all positions. So I was thinking offensive linemen, too. You know, give me guys that can do two or three things if they're not the number one center or right tackle or whatever. You know?
Right.
Yeah, without question.
So, but, I just thought it was interesting that all came down, you know, here a week afterwards. And
I'm a little shocked Nelson doesn't have a job yet. I mean, I'm sure he will. I'm not.
Well, he said 10 to 15 teams contact his agent.
Mm-hmm. It's a tough time of year to get hired.
It is a tough time. But, again, you know, he got cut loose a week into free – like, it wasn't even a full week into free agency.
It's late in the process, but it's not – Doomsday, you know, past doomsday or whatever.
Right, yeah. It's not like he got cut after the draft or something like that.
Right before the draft.
Right before.
And I'm sure many teams are waiting until the draft before they sign a starter.
Right.
They probably have a lot of their starters hooked up. But, I mean, he's got good tape.
There's good tape there. He's been a solid player.
Mm-hmm.
It just comes down to maybe what are you asking for?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Are you asking for the moon? Because right now nobody has the moon. You know, the money situation around the league is not –
I'm not saying the bridge is burned, but I wonder if he calls the Steelers back up and says, hey, you know, let's do it again. I mean, it seems like that ship is sailed.
I think that ship may have, might be on its way out the out the harbor.
And maybe they just want to replace him with youth, or they're high on Lane, or, you know, all those things factor in, too. We didn't even mention Lane.
Yeah, so he is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You've been listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We want to thank you for doing so. And we want to thank Jacob Breck for keeping us on the air throughout the course of the show. That's going to do it for this segment. We'll be back with more. Don't go away, because you can always find plenty of content here on Steelers Nation Radio.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. This is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio. And Matt, a couple of weeks ago, we put together our Steelers top 24 picks.
Yeah.
The Steelers will do. They will, for people who aren't regular listeners, the Steelers typically, wherever they're picking at, if it's 15, they'll come up with 15 guys. If it's 18, they'll be 18. This year it's 24th. They're picking 24th. They'll come up with 24 guys that they would take at the 24th pick.
Yeah, you need to have that order in case, if by chance, the 23 go that you don't want to go, who's your 24th?
Or if
you can't get out.
You know, you're sitting there at, let's say, 15, and seven of your top 15 guys are still available.
Right, right. You're very comfortable.
Somebody gets on the phone and say, hey, you want to move back three spots? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we can still get one of our top 15.
Sure.
We'll go ahead and do that.
And there's probably tier breaks there, you know, I mean.
But if one of those guys is available that you really, we got him, he's our 10th best guy, and he's still available here at 24, we got to take him, you know.
I think it's just a good exercise, too, and maybe even listeners would want to do it, is put yourself in Kevin Colbert's shoes and rank this class from 1 to 24. I mean, if worst case scenario, you have to make a pick at 24, and your favorite 23 guys are there, who's it going to be? I mean, and, you know, some positions I know the Steelers aren't involved in. But if Chase Young were in this draft,
yeah, Chase Young falls, he'd be there. Yeah, you'd figure out what to do with him. Right, you know, if Aaron Donald's there, yeah, you'll figure out what to do with him.
I mean, elite prospects have to be included,
right?
And some of that's moot. I mean, having Trevor Lawrence on this list doesn't
matter.
He's
not going to be available.
But he takes away from one of your 24.
Right,
but if really he 23 on your list,
if he were, you would take him.
Of course, of course. I mean, you don't have to fight over one versus two versus three.
Right.
But
he might not be.
Exercise.
You know, I know we looked at this a little bit differently. You stacked your quarterbacks one through four, and you put them all at the top.
I did.
But to me, you know, if I'm looking at this in the way I ranked them, well, there's some quarterbacks. I would take position players ahead of them because I don't have the quarterbacks rated nearly as high.
I just think the value of the position is so monstrous that if Justin Fields would happen to be there, I'm taking him super fast. I mean, again, it's such a moot point because
it's just not going to happen.
Those four guys are long gone.
Right.
I mean, we could talk about Mac Jones. I think he's going third overall. It's just there is a quarterback problem on the horizon. If I can nip it in the bud with a star before then, great. But you're not going to.
Right. It's just not
going
to
happen. Right.
So, at number one, we both had Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
No surprise there.
No.
At number two, you had Justin Fields. I had Penei Sewell.
Understandable. I mean, again, neither one's going to be a steal.
Right. It's just not going to be there.
I think Fields is clearly the second quarterback.
I think so, too. And I put out my quarterback rankings. And, like, you know, again, we both have a lot of respect for Daniel Jeremiah. And he has him as his number four.
Most seem to. Yeah. And he might go fifth if Mac Jones really goes third.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Sent me something today on Spark scores and all that stuff. And he's Lamar Jackson, but he's a better thrower.
And
he's
much
a better passer.
Bigger and more physical and a much better thrower than Lamar. Tough as could be. I don't know. I mean, if I was in charge of the Niners and I make that move, it's for Fields. But I don't think that's the case.
At three, I had Kyle Pitts. At three, you have Zach Wilson.
Mm-hmm. And again, I'm just going to put quarterbacks as because they're worth more.
Pitts, to me, is almost the biggest wild card. I think him and Owosu-Koramoah. Are the two biggest wild cards in this draft because typically you wouldn't look at a tight end and say, well, we got to take him. You know, again, I got him third.
Right.
And he's not going to go that high because he's not a quarterback.
No.
But if he did.
But he might go fourth or fifth.
If he did go third, nobody would blink an eye.
They shouldn't.
Because he's that kind of talent. I saw something on ESPN or NFL Network, I can't remember which one. And it said, how do you rank him against the wide receivers? I mean, if you were looking at things and he didn't have a T-E next to his name, would he be rated higher than any of the wide receivers in this draft? And I think you could make an argument that, yeah. I mean, he ran a 4.4.
Yes. Okay. We haven't talked Pitts in a while because I've really come to the conclusion that not only is he the best non-quarterback in this draft, because they're their own beast, it's by far.
Yeah.
I mean, with all respect to Sewell and Chase, I've never seen anyone like this guy. I mean, I think he is unbelievable. And we talk, well, there's some corners we're going to talk about. J.C. Horn and Surtain. That's who the defense has put against him, and he ate them alive.
Right.
You know,
because he's 6'6".
Or not. You know, I mean, he is amazing to me. And he's an able blocker, but the TE distinction doesn't matter at all. I mean, this isn't what we're talking about, but there's a big conversation. Since he might get their choice of Sewell or Chase or Pitts, I'd take Pitts and draft guards and centers and stuff in the second and third round.
Yeah.
I think he's the most special player here, maybe including Lawrence.
Here's the thing. Let's say, for example, last year Chase Claypool was asked to work out with the tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
Had they put a TE next to his name? Because
he'll block too.
Because his physical traits were similar.
Similar.
Not quite as.
Nobody's as freaky.
But he ran. He ran 4.4s.
Right.
He was 6'4" and 238 pounds. They're very similar sized players.
No, you're right.
You know, if he had the TE next to his name, would he be talked about as a top 10 pick last year?
I mean, maybe even another example is somebody like Ingram with the Giants, who was a first round pick.
Right.
Ran like a 4.4 flat.
Wasn't as big as Pitts, though.
No.
I mean,
like he's like 6'3", 235-ish. You know,
6'6".
Right.
Yeah, I mean, with crazy long arms and a very willing blocker. I mean, he's not bad in that regard. He'll line up in line. I think he's just so freaky. But your point about Claypool's right. I mean, and I think the NFL's looking at it less and less of what room you go to, what position room you go to, and, you know, Fitz is phenomenal.
I actually had Rashawn Slater at 4.
Okay.
Again, because of position, you had Trey Lance.
Yeah.
You had the quarterbacks ranked top 4. At 5, I had Micah Parsons.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think he was just had a ridiculous workout as well.
Sure.
And the tape matches the workout. You have Pitts. Then you had Sewell.
Right.
At 6. At 6, I have Patrick Surtain.
I have him at 7.
You have him at 7, so we're not far off on that. Again, that's a premium.
That's just because I put the quarterbacks ahead.
A premium position.
The non-quarterbacks, I went Pitts, Sewell, Surtain. So we're not much different there.
It's 7, I had Fields. It's 7, you have Surtain. At 8, you have Ja'Marr Chase, mm-hmm. which is interesting because Chase
it's
is
not a need.
Yeah, it's not a high need, but again, if he's available, you take him.
You take him. Yeah. I mean, I just raved about Pitts, and I would take Pitts over Chase if I'm the Dolphins, the Falcons, the Bengals at 6'5", 4".
Yeah, but again, it's kind of a moot point because he's not going to be available for the Steelers.
I mean, he's not getting out of the top 6.
Yeah,
so it really doesn't matter. But if you don't ever turn down a prospect like that.
At 8, I had Zach Wilson. At 8, you have Chase. At 9, I have J.C. Horn. At 9, you have J.C. Horn.
Yeah.
How about that?
Man coverage corner, tough. You know,
physical.
The fact that Farley has to fall a little probably bumps Horn up a little because there's a little bit of a position scarcity there at the top. Attitude to fit in around here as well.
Yeah. And the same school as Stephon Gilmore. They're not the same player, but there's some traits.
There's some similarities,
There's some traits.
And I mentioned how, you know, he guarded Pitts. Like, he's one of the few corners at the top of this draft. He would follow,
everybody.
Devontae Smith.
Yeah.
They've been true number ones in the SEC.
At 10, you have Parsons.
Yes.
At 10, I have Najee Harris.
Wow. That's higher than I could go with a running back, but I understand.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that, you know, if I'm going to start looking at which guy should go where, in need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm basing this off of need, that's where I would put him. There aren't many guys that I would take in this draft based on need ahead of him.
Yeah, obviously, right. I get it. I mean, I don't have him much further down.
No, you're right there with me. At 10, you have Parsons. At 11, you have Slater.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you had all those guys. I didn't have all the quarterbacks rated ahead of those guys.
Okay.
At 12, I have Caleb Farley. And he's going to be one of the more interesting guys. I saw something. The reason why I put him at 12, apparently the procedure that he had on his back was to fix a disc issue.
Okay.
That guys get that done now, and it's not that big of a deal.
It's not major back surgery or things.
So he expects to be ready for training camp and ready for the regular season. If that's the case,
then he should be way higher on my list.
Yeah, I had him as my number one corner going into this whole process.
Right,
I bumped him down a little bit because of that. But, man, if he's available, you know.
If the medicals are good and he'll be at the combine recheck situation and everyone will get this information, if he passes all those, I have him at 22, but I pretty much should have just put a huge asterisk by him.
Yeah, he could go anywhere. He could go anywhere in the first round and nobody would blink an eye. Like, if he went he went 8th, people would go, okay, they got good medical info.
they trust the info, right. Yeah. I don't know if I'd take him over Parsons. I would take him over Slater, though, who I had at 11.
Yeah.
If he was pretty clean medically, a good billet.
No, I really like him. Okay, you had Jaylen Waddle at 12. At 12, I had Farley. At 13, I have Javonte Williams. I'm still a Javonte Williams fan.
Mm-hmm.
I still like his game. People ask me, why do you now have Harris above Williams?
It's a tough call.
I wanted Williams at 220. He came into this pro day at 212 pounds.
Now, yeah, I didn't love that.
He did that to make him probably get his 40 time up a little higher, which I get. And he ran 4.55, which is fine. That's great. What's he going to run at 220? That's what I don't know. I looked at him as a 220-pound back. ATN went the other way.
Right.
He balked up to 215 and still ran a 4.4. I still have Williams ahead of ATN on my over. These three running backs, to me, are all pretty interchangeable.
They're all on the same tier.
They're all in that same tier.
The other one's there.
Yeah, and they're the only ones there. That's why I have them so high on the list, because if they aren't, and you pass on one, you're not getting one in the round two.
No, you're right. And you know this, obviously, and I assume most of our listeners do, but pro days and combines, these guys are doing whatever they can to improve their stock. So if my biggest weakness is
speed, Harris didn't run.
Yeah. I'm not going to show you that. If my biggest weakness is speed, I'm going to cut a little weight to get faster. If my biggest weakness is size, I'm going to bulk on a few pounds and look good in my underwear, and that's probably ATN's move. You know, so I'm sure you have to talk to the coaches and Williams himself to say, where do you want to play at?
Yeah,
where
what
are you
weight?
Comfortable?
And yeah, the Steelers did that with Le'Veon Bell. You know,
right.
Le'Veon Bell played at 250 pounds in college.
Right.
You know, Mike Tomlin said, hey, we'd like you to get down to 230 range. That first year, and then he got down to 230, and like, okay, you could keep dry, you know, you're getting rid of the weight pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
What do you look like at 225 or 220?
Yeah, and it worked out really well.
Yeah,
you know, what would they want Williams to play at? Maybe they'd want him at 218 or I don't know.
Yeah, because he's plenty quick enough.
But this is also where scouting comes into it, where whoever your North Carolina scout is, he knows that strength coach really well at North Carolina.
Yeah.
They weigh those guys on a regular
basis. What did he play at last year?
Where was he at his best? What's he most comfortable? Where does he carry too much weight? You know, those are things they know and we don't.
Yeah. At 13, you have Christian Darrisaw after Waddle. At 13, I had Williams. At 14, I have Travis Etienne.
Okay.
I mean, I value the running backs highly here.
I don't blame you at all. I mean, some of these guys to me, actually, my next guy on the list is Devontae Smith. I didn't know what to do with Waddle and Smith.
I pushed the receivers down a little bit. I just thought some of the other needs. And
yeah.
I don't see the Steelers. Yeah, those guys
they're not going to be available.
Here's the thing that I figured out in this draft. Like, those first three wide receivers.
Yeah.
There's those three, and then there's a gap. The wide receiver group is deep, and you can get a lot of these guys
into the
fourth, fifth round. But those first three guys they're on their own tier.
They are. I'm a little nervous about saying that too, and I do agree with you, because last year we said the same things about Judy, Ruggs, and Lamb.
Yeah.
And it didn't really play out that way as a rookie year. You know, Jefferson and Claypool and all these
But
guys.
A lot of that too is about where did you go?
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. I'm really high on Bateman.
Yeah, he was my number four.
He's my number four, and I think he's closer to the top three than he is to number five.
Although he came in a little shorter than...
He was also a little lean, too. He was like 190.
Again, he probably did that because he ran in the 4.3s.
Right, yeah, exactly. It's just, what do they want to show you? I mean, the Steelers aren't in the Devontae Smith Waddle game. It really doesn't matter where I put them on this list. But I really respect
But they're going to go before the Steelers pick, probably.
They are.
Yeah.
And as much as I like Chase, this is kind of a side conversation. There's so many good receivers, to your point, that were second round. They're in the league now that are second rounders. And
Steelers got
picks.
Four of them.
Steelers have four of them. Metcalf and Devontae Adams and Michael Thomas. I'd be a little hesitant, as much as I like Chase, to use the fourth, fifth, sixth pick in the draft for him. I mean, if it's Calvin Johnson, Andre Johnson, Julio Jones, yeah.
Well, see, Pitts fits into that range.
Yeah, he's like Calvin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At 15,
way, Calvin Johnson was. I saw this morning. Calvin Johnson was 237 or 239 pounds.
Yeah, he was.
At the combine.
You saw when Chase Claypool did what he did at the combine last year. The comp was Calvin Johnson.
There's not many of them.
Nobody had done the things that he did at the combine since Calvin Johnson.
At that
weight and size.
I also heard this morning. I can't confirm it. Pitts's wingspan is the greatest in combine history or something like that.
Doesn't surprise me. For a skill player. I mean,
right,
I'm sure.
Skill player,
I'm sure there have been some offensive tackles.
Maybe Rousseau's long.
Yeah, or 6'8" like that
but
long
yeah,
and
crazy.
Lean like that. But at 15, you have Najee Harris.
Yes.
At 15, I had Jamin Davis. I've been watching a lot of tape on him.
He's good. He didn't make my top 24, but he was next.
I think he fills a need. Like you, if the running backs aren't there and some of those offensive tackles aren't there, I put him above Zaven Collins. I know they're two different animals, but the height is.
But they both would play the same position.
Yeah, the height's the same, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
The range is not.
The range is not.
In the hands and every. I mean, Davis has good or Collins has good hands as well, but they're different.
Yeah,
I think next to Devin Bush. Jamin Davis could, I mean, they would have the fastest defense in the league. I don't care what everybody else runs.
More than even like the Bucs yesterday,
yeah.
The Super Bowl. Yeah, and I guess the other name to mention there is Owosu-Koramoah too.
Right.
Because all three of them are kind of different, staggered in terms of height, length.
Again, Owosu-Koramoah is a tough. What is he?
What is he?
Because I know he next to Bush, he weighed it, now he's a guy that I think that probably went up at his pro day workout.
Yeah,
because he weighed in at 220.
He does not want to show up at 200.
Yeah,
no. Right.
But the question I would have with him is, can you get higher than 220? I don't think he can.
Oh no, I bet he's ballooned up.
Yeah.
I bet he drank a gallon of water before he steps on the scale.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So what is, you know, is he a safety? I don't think so.
No.
Is he a linebacker? Maybe a little too small. If you've got another, you know, if you've got a Devin Bush in there who's a,
you're a pretty small linebacker.
You'd be really light. You'd be really fast.
You'd be really fast.
But you'd be really light.
Your D tackles better keep people off the ball, keep them off them, and that might work a little better with Casey Hampton.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you got to protect them a little bit.
So I pushed him a little farther down than the other two, than those other two guys.
He was 24th for me, and Davis would have been 25. But the more I think about it, I think your points are strong that Davis's height and being a true linebacker probably would put him ahead of him for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Davis could easily put on some weight. If you wanted him at 240, he could get to 240 pretty
probably,
easily. Yeah, because he's like, I think he was like 234 at his pro day. So
I mean, he's kind of a narrow waisted guy. I mean, he's not a super I forget what they call it, but macromorph or whatever.
Yeah.
Your skeleton structure.
But man, he can get into the backfield.
There's a lot
can
there.
Fly. At 15 and 16, you had Harrison Etienne.
Mm-hmm.
At 17, you had Greg Newsome.
I like Newsome a lot.
Yeah.
I know it's not a super sexy pick. He's from Northwestern.
But he tested well in the tape.
He tested really well.
Yeah, the tape shows that.
He's over 6 feet tall, and he's going to be a high pick.
At 17, I had Tevin Jenkins.
Okay. I'm not far off on him.
At 18, I had Newsome. So we're pretty close on those.
Yeah, same neighborhood.
Yeah, 18, you have Javonte Williams.
Mm-hmm.
19, you have Tevin Jenkins. So we're all in that same neighborhood with those guys.
I mean, if it came down to crunch time and it's Williams and Jenkins on the board.
That's a tough call.
That's a tough call.
I like Williams a little bit better.
Yeah.
And I think I think all of these guys in the teens are potential Steelers draft. Like, these are guys that they could take.
Newsome.
Yeah, right.
I agree.
This is probably the area that they're picking from.
The Waddles and Smiths aren't.
Right. Those guys aren't going to be there. Yeah.
No, I agree with you.
The
one thing about Jenkins, like, if I'm not grading for the Steelers, if I'm just grading for the NFL Network or, you know, like DJ and those guys do, I would have a higher grade on him than Williams but for the Steelers, and I know this means less than it ever did, if I'm going to bring in a tackle, I'd prefer a traditional left tackle type.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Banner's really a right that's going to play left.
Yeah.
You know, like the light-footed pass protector, I would prefer for this team.
Yeah, this
and
is
not
this,
really what he is.
This is another one of those, you know.
Yeah. And he might even be a guard.
Another dancing bear. You
right,
know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, he's a little bit short-armed, but I love his game. But for the Steelers, they kind of have those guys.
Yeah. At 19, I put Owosu-Koramoah.
Okay.
Again, I didn't know where to put him, and I put him right ahead of a lot of the – I get the receivers basically finishing out my couple of linemen and the receivers.
Okay.
At 19, you have Jenkins. At 20, you have Zaven Collins.
Yeah, and I do think it's a conversation, Collins versus Davis, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Collins is pretty freaky. You watch his tape, too. It's like, wow, that guy is
I mean,
out.
He would not flinch.
They didn't hurt him either.
At 20, I have Jamar Chase.
Okay.
Obviously.
Sure, he's not going to go 20th overall.
Yeah.
Right.
At 21, I had Elijah Vera Tucker.
So did I.
And
he's another one, though, that I'm not sure he's what they need.
Yeah. I mean, they've lined up and had Kelvin Beachum play left tackle in the past.
And I was actually, as that came out of my mouth, I thought maybe he'll just be the undersized left tackle for the Steelers.
Right.
Because he has better feet.
And he can do it, yeah.
Right. He's not the masher right tackle. The fact that he can play guard, though, doesn't appeal to me in this team. Like, if I'm the Vikes, I'm like, okay, I'm
I can.
Tackle,
he's going to be.
I need a guard.
And that was somebody asked me about that. Why, you know, where do you see him? I said, well, he's going to be one of your top five.
Mm-hmm.
So you figure it out.
Okay,
he's one of our top five. He's going to be in the mix somewhere.
If I have two dudes that can only play one position, I'm putting them at that position.
But do I prioritize that? Probably not.
Right. He's really good. He's going in the first round. I don't think he'll be there when the Steelers pick. In a way, Slater's that way too, but he's a better version.
Yeah. Right.
You know.
Yeah. 22. I had Trey Lance. I think there's a the top three are the top three, and then I think Lance is number four.
Do you? See, I think his accuracy worries me a little bit.
Yeah.
I think he's going to go really high.
he's just so much of an unknown.
Right, that's the problem I have.
Especially from what we said.
But I think he's – I think there are more traits there than Mac Jones has.
Oh, yeah, clearly.
At 23, I had Devontae Smith. At 24, I had Jalen Waddle. They're not going to be there.
Okay.
At 22, you had – or 21, you had Vera Tucker. 22, yep. You had Caleb Farley.
Right, probably going up if that news you said is true. Yeah. Or if we get some good medical reports, he's going to go in my top 10.
Then you had Mac Jones at 23.
He
didn't make my
list.
Here's
my logic behind that. I knew you weren't going to have him in there, and I wanted to put him in there just to bring it up. I'm not a Mac Jones fan. I would never take him at three. I've said this over and over that the Williamson family had five Toyota Siennas in a row. It's a wonderful minivan. We loved it. Very reliable. You could throw all kinds of groceries in there. But we didn't pay Lamborghini prices for it.
Right, which is what you're going to do.
What you're doing at
which
three.
Is if the 49ers take him three.
That's what they're doing.
They paid Bentley prices.
Exactly, yeah. Right, for a wonderful minivan that's very reliable. But at 24, if those 22 guys were gone, I would consider taking Mac Jones for the Steelers with only this logic in mind, is I'll take my minivan at quarterback, but I'm going to surround him with Lamborghinis.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to have the first time in a million years,
I just
I'm
have
no money in the quarterback room.
To me, I keep going back to my argument that if he and Kyle Trask flip schools.
I hear you.
Would we be talking about Kyle Trask in that spot? In which case, I can just, if that's what I want to do, mm-hmm. I could take Kyle Trask in the third round.
I like Jones better, but your argument's strong. I just think
I can find that kind of quarterback.
Yes.
Later in a draft, this year, next year, the year after.
I think he's a little bit special processing in all those things, though. I mean, he's not gifted.
He better be outstanding.
He better be outstanding. But I think he can be Kirk Cousins. And if you had Kirk Cousins.
Well, Kirk Cousins was a fourth-round draft pick.
I know. I mean, I'm saying.
Or fifth-round, whatever he was.
He could be Jimmy. He could be Cousins. He could be at the pro level.
But none of those guys were first-round picks.
I know. But if you give me Kirk Cousins, or Jimmy's a perfect example. Jimmy went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. He lost with a lot of Ferraris around him,
right?
And they were paying Jimmy good money.
Next year, you might be able to get Jimmy Garoppolo for nothing. Not nothing. You're going to pay his contract, but
you could probably get him for a second round pick right now.
Next
year, you can get him for nothing.
Next year, they're probably going to cut him.
Mm-hmm.
They may keep him both this year, but next year they may say, "Hey, we're going to shop Jimmy. If we can't get rid of him, we're going to cut him free."
But he's not 22, clear of injuries. And on a rookie deal for 5 years.
But he's also got starting experience,
which is,
you know what he is.
The only reason I consider Mac Jones, though, is just because if I can have $5 million in the quarterback room for 5 years, give or take.
I get it. There's no doubt.
You never lose Bud Dupree. You never lose
But
any
there's
of those
also,
guys.
You know, if you're going to use a first-round pick on the guy,
mm-hmm.
I want him to be special.
24 is different than a top 10, though.
It is, but again,
the
the guys
pass it on Kyle Pitts for him.
The guys that you brought up were mid round draft picks.
Yes, no, that's true.
And again, if I'm going to take that guy at 24, if it comes down again, that's why he didn't make my list because
mm-hmm.
if it comes down to Zaven Collins or Mac Jones, I'm taking Zaven Collins. He's the more special player.
Yeah,
and he helps you out more right now.
I wanted him in my top 24 just so we could have this conversation.
Yeah.
I know it's not going to matter. But I didn't have Jamin Davis, and I had Owosu-Koramoah behind him. In reality, I'd probably take both those guys ahead of him. I mean, they're dynamic, help you now defensive players
that are going to probably be immediate starters
mm-hmm.
and help you win. That's why I couldn't put him on that list.
Yeah,
I'm not taking I'm not interested
if I'm
the Steelers.
25th for me.
Yeah,
but I wanted to have a conversation.
If I'm the Steelers, I'm not, all these mock drafts, and even the ones that have later picks, that have the Steelers taking a quarterback this year.
It doesn't, the timeline doesn't work.
Doesn't compute.
Right.
You've got two young quarterbacks. Well, and Mason Rudolph's not super young anymore, mm-hmm. but he's still a guy that you want to get snaps to.
Right. It's different if you get Justin Fields.
You got Dwayne Haskins for nothing.
You at least want to see him.
You want to see him take some, hey, what do we got here?
Right.
If you're going to do that, and he was the 15th pick in the draft,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know that anybody, when he was the 15th pick in the draft, said, they way overreached for that.
No, not at all.
I mean, he was a first-round guy.
I don't know about you, but, and maybe it's just revisionist history, when they signed Paxton Lynch, I didn't have the optimism of, boy, I can't wait to see Lynch in the preseason.
Right.
I'm like, I bet he doesn't. There's no chance he works out.
same may be true for Haskins. I mean, their career paths are pretty similar.
Right.
But I feel like there's a chance they can revive this career.
Haskins has already started more games in his career than Paxton Lynch ever did.
We've actually at least he's seen the field at least. Right.
So you have a bit of a baseline here. Okay, here's what he can do. Now, what can he do for us in this system? What can we make him into? I don't know that you had that with Lynch. I think Paxton Lynch started five career games. Right. Something along those lines. Right. I mean, there wasn't a lot there.
No.
Because he just...
Never showed it.
Mm-hmm. And they were starting guys... You know, Denver was starting guys ahead of him who were...
Osweilers. Yeah. And I'm trying to think of some of the other names.
The guy they got from Chicago. And just anybody, you know, anybody...
Simeon.
Yeah.
Yeah, those type of dudes, right. Not exactly ringing endorsements.
It wasn't...
Not that Haskins' career has been glowing.
Right.
But.
But
yeah. I have more hope for Haskins than I did for Lynch.
So you want to see those guys get some work as opposed to, you know, if you take a young quarterback this year, you got to get him all the work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you do. And this whole Mac Jones conversation isn't going to matter. But next year, we might talk about it a lot.
Yeah, next year you're having that conversation. And there will be...
The first-round boring quarterback that
nobody was talking
exciting about
is Joe Burrow 2 years ago as a first-round draft pick. Nobody going into this season, into this past season, was talking about Mac Jones as a first-round draft pick.
Right. My Mac Jones conversation, again, it's going to really carry over to next year.
Nobody was talking about Zach Wilson as a first-round draft
pick. No, very true. But it really applies to a team like Minnesota. Like, if you were the Vikings, I would consider taking Mac Jones at 15 or whatever if I already knew I can get out of Cousins' deal. Get basically the same quarterback play and then have $30 million to play with every year. You know, I think you're a better team with keeping Stephon Diggs, signing Tooney,
right,
and running back with Zach Jones than Cousins.
Yeah.
Or, you know, something along those
lines. I mean, yeah, because you know what Cousins' ceiling is.
That's the thing. And then this guy has the same ceiling probably, but he's cheap.
He's cheap. Yeah, you can surround them a little more easily.
Right, right.
Their problem is, you mentioned the Vikings, is that they gave guaranteed money to Cousins.
Well,
so
then now they're married to him.
Yeah.
Instead of going down that road. Right.
Now you can't.
Like the Rams would have been better off with a Zach Wilson than the Goff contract because then they don't lose all their studs either, you know?
Right. But interesting, and we'll do this again before the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure the list will change. I did want to do this, though, after most of the pro day stuff had ended.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
there are guys.
Farley's the tough one.
I think Jamin Davis athletically helped himself a lot with his pro day.
Did you consider Davis's teammate, Joseph, at all, the corner? He was kind of on my can't-miss list.
Yeah.
It's a little rich for me, though.
Probably not in the first round, but, man.
I never considered him a first-rounder.
I jump all over him in the second.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
even
I agree.
You see some of these mock draft stuff have him going to the third. That's all, you know.
Did you consider any centers?
Yeah. I had Creed Humphrey on that. And he was on my previous 24. I bumped him down off of that.
Okay. Dickerson's kind of like Farley. If I knew he was clean,
right,
I'd consider it.
I would consider it. I just don't know that in the first round that you make that move with as deep as I think that this center group is. I think there's now, you know, before when we were talking about, well, there's three or four centers here that you got to get, and you know, you can get a guy like a Kendrick Green or someone like that, you know, in the third round and be, you know, they've played center
Myers.
and they're good players.
Miners,
yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Although my center take has changed a little. There's three that I think have stood out a little. I still think there's six I could live with or something like that that would be welcome additions to the Steelers. But Miners, Humphrey, Dickerson to me are the ones I want.
Yeah.
Because I think Miners, I don't need to play him right this minute. He's such a good athlete.
Yeah, he really tested well.
He would fit in well around here.
Really tested well.
If you told me the Steelers could have one of those three in round two, I think is a very good possibility.
If I told you the Steelers came out of the first two rounds of the draft with Najee Harris and Quinn Miners, you'd be pretty happy.
Yep. And to be very honest, I think that's what's going to happen. The more and more I think about this draft, I think it's going to go running back, center, best available after that. And I'll take it.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be one of those three centers. I think it'll be one of those three backs.
Yeah. And then you can get, because of the depth at the positions, an offensive tackle, an inside linebacker, a cornerback.
The other thing's fall into place then with best available. I mean, if I can get those two needs knocked out with high upside and immediate help, I'll take it.
It's pretty good,
my running game just took a big stride forward.
Yeah, you really helped your running game. So.
Yep.
Anyways, we're going to take a break. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You've been listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We want to thank Jacob Reck for keeping us on the air, and we want to thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. And Matt, Mel Kiper and Todd McShay did an interesting thing today on ESPN.com and their exclusive stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
And they did this last year as well, where they draft 44 players.
Are they a team or are they drafting against
each other? They're drafting against each other, trying to fill out a team. What they're doing is filling out a roster. 22
gotcha.
Players for each team. So you're getting a starter at every position
mm-hmm.
based on this draft.
Fair enough. Okay. That's
so, you know, you're
I
only
going to. Last year. I didn't
yeah, you're only going to draft. They're each drafted like one running back each, one quarterback mm-hmm. each, things of that nature. So you're getting.
And of course, there's some strategy to that. Like if you and I were to do it and you take Trevor Lawrence first overall, I could probably wait till the 44th
could,
pick.
Yeah, your 44th pick could be the quarterback.
Right.
Yeah.
If you take Kyle Pitts, I'm going to take Freiermuth last. Or
yeah.
Same with running backs and things like that. So it's a little bit cheating. There's not 32 teams, but such is life. You
yeah, it's almost like doing a fantasy draft.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, that's cool. I'm curious how that went.
Yeah, so with the first pick, McShay took Trevor Lawrence. McShay had the first pick.
Fair enough.
Okay, you're set. He doesn't need to take another quarterback now.
No.
With the second pick, Kiper took Kyle Pitts.
That's who I would have taken, too. You
know, okay.
Just because the difference is so much different.
Yeah.
Right, that's the obvious one, the first two to me.
But with the third pick then, McShay took Ja'Marr Chase.
Okay.
So he's got a nice little...
That's a nice battery there,
yeah.
Lawrence to Chase for the next 15 years, you hope. But the receivers are plentiful.
Right.
I assume these guys are going to take three receivers each.
Yeah. It might be just two. I'll have to look here.
I'll take a fullback.
At four, Kiper took Devontae Smith. So he's got Kyle Pitts and Devontae Smith.
I guess he wants to make sure he gets one of the top receivers.
Yeah. Yeah, because otherwise, if he doesn't do that, then McShay comes...
takes him next round.
No, he's got ridiculous. At five, McShay took Penei Sewell.
Understandable. There's a lot of tackles, but understandable.
Yeah.
I have no qualms with that.
At six, then, Kiper took Jaylen Waddle. So he's got Pitts, Devontae Smith, and Jaylen Waddle.
And he's going to end up with Fields or Wilson
right.
or whoever he wants.
Yeah.
The beauty of picking second. Okay. That's a pretty good passing game.
That's a pretty good passing game. At seven, McShay took Micah Parsons.
Wow. First defensive player taken. I guess I understand it. I mean... He's different than the other linebackers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At eight, Kiper took Rashawn Slater.
I would have maybe taken Slater where he took Waddle after
yeah.
Sewell went. Just want to make sure I get a top guy. But he still did.
Yeah. At nine, McShay takes Patrick Surtain.
That's maybe my pick before.
Yeah.
So, boy, yeah, I mean, I think I would have taken Surtain over Parsons.
It's tough, but you. I mean,
right.
Because
there's so many. I mean, corners are so valuable.
Yeah, but you get Surtain here. Who else are you going to wind up with here? At 10, Kiper takes Elijah Vera Tucker.
Curious where he'd go.
Yeah,
he has Slater and Vera Tucker.
Yeah, he's got two undersized tackles.
So
or guards, which
right, so he's got awesome
them.
Guards or short tackles.
Right. But this draft is so deep in tackles, you could take two tackles then and play both of those guys at guard and be really athletic at guard.
Yeah. I was sitting there thinking, I mean, or just take one more tackle, ask one of them to play tackle, the other one's a guard. I mean, no offensive line positions off the board, though, for Mel.
Right.
You know.
At 11, McShay takes Kadarius Toney.
Oh, I would
That's
never do
way
that.
Rich.
Way rich.
Yeah.
I don't like Toney at all. I don't think he's a first-round player. I think he will be in the first round.
I'd rather have Bateman.
I'd rather have
Elijah Moore.
I'd rather have Elijah Moore.
Yeah.
I mean, of the slot type receiver, you know. No, yeah, he would be way low on my list.
At 12, McShay's not going to like this. Kiper took Jamin Davis.
Wow. I mean, so Todd had Parsons, Mel got Davis.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Mel's been McShay's been a guy who's been on Jamin Davis for.
Yeah, I guess he has.
He's had him up in this top 50 before anybody else did.
In a previous segment, we did our Steelers top 24. I'm wondering more and more. Mel tells you things. Mel's been doing this such a long time. Whenever he's that high on someone, especially late in the process, that guy's going.
They're
high.
Rising high. Yeah,
that guy's
coming.
Going guy. Yeah.
At 13, McShay takes Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa.
Pretty good speed in the middle of the field.
He's got a lot of speed
right. The linebacker's going early.
Yeah. At 14, Kuiper takes Kwity Paye, the first edge off the board.
Okay. I think Phillips would be my first edge, but I can respect Paye.
Yeah. At 15, McShay takes J.C. Horn. How about that? He got
He had Surtain and
Horn.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'd be mad about that one. Should have jumped on Horn over a couple of those picks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he jumped on Jamin Davis early because he knew that McShay was such a Jamin Davis guy.
I mean, I'd even taken Horn over Vera Tucker.
Yeah.
You know, looking back on it.
At 16, Kuiper takes Jalen Phillips.
Good.
So he gets
Paye
in.
Yeah. So maybe his corners don't matter quite as much. I got shut out on a corner, I'll get pass rush.
At 17, McShay takes Gregory Rousseau.
That's another Todd pick that I've frowned upon a little bit. Yeah. Don't love it. I don't think he's very twitchy.
At 18, Kuiper takes Caleb Farley.
He needed a corner.
Yeah, that's kind of – it could be a steal.
Could be a steal. I would take another soon if I were him.
At 19, McShay takes Azeez Ojulari.
I don't love him either.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a bad player, but he's kind of a one-trick pony.
At 20, Mel gives
– Rousseau and Ojulari don't compare to Paye and
no, they
Phillips
don't.
To me.
But McShay says he's going with the 3-4. He's going with a hybrid 3-4-4-3 defense. At 20, Mel tips his hand on what he's going to do with those offensive linemen because he takes Christian Darrisaw.
Okay.
So now one of those guys is kicking inside for sure.
One of them's a guard.
Yeah.
That's a pretty nice line.
Yeah. At 21, McShay.
He'll definitely get a center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
McShay takes Najee Harris at 21.
He must like him noticeably more than the others.
Yeah. At 22, Kuiper takes Trevon Moehrig.
That's a pick that makes a lot of sense, too.
Yeah, you get
when you stand alone at your position in a drill like this, they should go pretty high.
So that's the halfway point of the whole
procedure
here. So if you look at what each team has, McShay has his quarterback in Lawrence, running back in Najee Harris, two wide receivers, Ja'Marr Chase and Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, Toney don't love, but still.
He's got a left tackle in Penei Sewell.
Good one.
He's got his defensive end slash outside linebackers in Rousseau and Ojulari.
Mm-hmm.
His insides are Micah Parsons and Owusu-Koramoah.
That's a nice compliment to one another, yeah.
And then he's got Surtain and J.C. Horn on the back end.
That's back seven is pretty awesome, yeah.
Mel doesn't have a quarterback yet.
But he'll get his pick.
Doesn't have a running back yet.
But he'll get his pick.
He's got Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddell at the receiver position. He's got Kyle Pitts at tight end.
Yeah, the receiving core is nuts.
He's got his offensive line filled out, actually, except for the center position.
He's got three of them.
Actually, they didn't take a center here. They're not taking a center. Why are they not taking a center?
Centers are important.
They are. Somebody has to snap the football.
Yeah.
But he's got so he's got on his offensive line Slater, Elijah Vera Tucker, Christian Darrisaw. He's got Slater as his left tackle.
Darrisaw's
and Darrisaw
right.
is his right with
Vera Tucker's a guard for him.
Well, maybe they're just not lit. They
just didn't pick a. Okay.
I think they're going to pick centers here.
They should.
Yeah. He's got Paye and Phillips as his defensive end linebackers. Jamin Davis at linebacker.
Nice.
And then he's got Caleb Farley at corner and Trevon Moehrig at safety.
Yeah, a lot of athleticism on his defense.
Yeah. At 23, McShay takes Tevin Jenkins.
Okay. I mean, yeah, put him opposite Penei Sewell. That's not so bad.
Yeah. They are taking centers because at 24, Kuiper takes Landon Dickerson.
Okay. So Vera Tucker's going to be a guard. You've got two tackles, Slater, one of them.
Here's one of the problem areas. At 25, McShay takes Christian Barmore.
That's a real problem area.
Yeah.
I mean, the more you think about the strategy, maybe he should go higher. And I have some doubts about Barmore. But you need to, I mean, we're going to line up with no defensive Jamin Davis is
you
great,
get pushed all over the place.
Right,
yeah,
he's not taking on double teams.
At 26, Kuiper takes Zaven Collins.
That makes sense, too. The linebackers went pretty high.
At 27, McShay takes Terrace Marshall.
I would have taken him over Tony, but
still no Bateman.
Yeah, I'd take Bateman over both of them.
Yeah. 28, Kiper takes Richie Grant.
Got him a safety, too.
He's got Moehring and Grant. He's got the two best.
That's kind of a defensive move to give Todd the finger a little bit, too. You're not going to have any safeties.
At 29, McShay takes Liam Eichenberg, but he lists him as a guard.
Really? I mean, he's a little short-armed, but, I mean, he has two good tackles. I think he probably has best grade on that guy and needs to help his O-line.
Yeah. At 30, Kiper takes Rashad Bateman.
There you go. That's a lot of receivers off the board. Six receivers already taken.
Yeah, Kuiper's loaded at receiver.
Loaded, like, especially with Pitt.
Bateman's is three.
Bateman's is four.
Actually, it's four, Pitt, really, yeah. Yeah. At 31, McShay takes Carlos Basham.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I don't love that.
I don't love that either.
Kiper takes at 32, Greg Newsome.
Nice.
Yeah, that's good value.
Yeah, nice.
At 33, McShay takes Levi Onwuzurike.
So he doubles
He took both defensive tackles.
Over the same thing to Mel.
Kiper's really weak in the middle of the field.
Yeah,
on defense.
It means you're going to have to take a McNeil or somebody like that who you don't have the grade on.
Yeah.
You've got to take him.
At 34, Kiper finally takes a running back. He takes ATN.
Fair enough.
He could have waited, though, on that.
I guess.
He probably looked at it and said, okay, I got these other positions filled. There's nobody there worth taking. Mm-hmm. I'll take ATN. Because, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I guess you're right.
Now you're just filling out your roster, I guess.
Might as well take a D-tackle one of these times, though.
At 35, McShay takes Creed Humphrey.
Nice. The top two centers, I think.
Yeah. 36, Kiper takes Samuel Cosmi, has him listed as a guard.
As a guard. I would put Kick Slater in the guard.
Yeah.
Boy, you'd have a line. Darisaw and Cosmi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Cosme's 6'7".
He's not a guard.
No, he's not a guard. Yeah. At 37, McShay takes Quinn Miners as a guard.
He's going to call him as a guard.
Yeah, as a guard.
Fair enough.
Humphrey at center and Miners at guard. 38, Kiper takes Ronnie Perkins.
That's a little early. I mean, he took him over like Owe.
Yeah.
You know, okay.
I might.
I mean, yeah, he's a good player.
I mean, he's at least got production.
Yeah.
Owe does.
Over Tryon.
Here's where, because Mel jumped on the safeties, McShay at 39 takes Andre Sisco.
But that's a third safety off the board. It's a little shocking, but.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you got to line up with somebody there. I mean, Mel's going to do this at defensive tackle, too, I imagine.
Yeah. At 40, Kiper takes Milton Williams.
I guess he's going to be an undersized D-tackle for him.
He says he's going to play a 3-4. He'll be his 5 technique. He's, you know.
Fair enough. He'll get a D, you know, won't draft a nose, probably.
Yeah. At 41, McShay takes Pat Freiermuth.
These are the.
Yeah, you know, filling out your roster.
Quarterback late. And right.
Yeah.
I mean, they're great values, but you didn't know you got the other guy, you know, by the short ones.
Right.
If I were Mel, I might take Freiermuth.
We might have to do this ourselves.
I was thinking we might have to do this. And strategy is pretty important.
Yeah.
You know, like, do you really take Lawrence one? Is he that special? Probably. But
I could live with Fields. Mel still doesn't have a quarterback.
And I
don't have to take one. I could fill out my roster.
Right.
I got great wide receivers. I got the best tight end.
Yep.
I got, you know, a lot of stuff.
And one thing I would do to you, if I got Pitts, I'd probably take Freiermuth pretty high and just play double tight ends. They're very different. I'm going to split Pitts out, and you're not going to have a tight end. You know, you're going to have to live with, you know, whoever your third guy is.
Yeah.
I mean, you could play some defense.
Tight end position's not that important.
It's not that important. D-tackle is.
D-tackle, and right. That's what happens here to Mel, because at 42, he has to take Davion Nixon as his top.
Got him.
As his top DT.
Right. You better take another one, too.
At 43, McShay gets great value and takes Javon Holland as a safety.
That's a nice pick. I would take him over Sisco.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
doubt.
I think Holland's probably the three, don't you think?
I think so.
He had a good pro day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes the ball away.
I have him as my two.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
At 44, then Kiper takes Justin Fields, last pick.
Nice, that's right.
Good value there.
I'm glad Mel has him number two, though, because I think he's easily number two.
Yeah.
You've been
saying
that since day one.
So, McShay winds up with Trevor Lawrence at quarterback, Najee Harris at running back. His wide receivers, he drafted three. Are Jamar Chase, Kadarius Toney, Terrace Marshall.
That's great.
Yeah. Okay.
Toney was too high.
Tight end, he's got Freiermuth.
You can live with that.
Yeah. At left tackle, Penei Sewell. At left guard, Liam Eichenberg. Center is Creed Humphrey. The guard, right guard is Quinn Miners. And his right tackle is Tevin Jenkins.
Okay.
He can be
two guys maybe out of position there, but such is life.
He'd be able to mash and potatoes, fine. Though.
Yeah.
The middle of that line.
Right.
Actually, from the center right is really physical.
Penei Sewell's no slouch either.
Yeah. his defensive end slash outside linebackers, Rousseau. He's got Basham. His defensive,
I don't like that at all.
His defensive tackle slash defensive ends are Levi Ovenzarike and Christian Barmore.
That's the best of the bunch, but that's not very good.
Not very good, yeah.
No.
At linebacker, then he's got Ojulari, Micah Parsons, and Jeremiah Owosu-Koramoa.
I like the last two.
Yeah. At cornerback, he's got Surtain and Horn.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. At safety, he's got Andre Sisco and Javon Holland.
That's not awesome.
Yeah, but that's the safety position
right.
This year.
That's all you got to pick
from. Yeah. At Kuiper, at quarterback, Justin Fields.
Great.
At running back,
Mr. Irrelevant,
Travis Etienne.
Pretty good.
His wide receivers, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Rashad Bateman.
That's really strong.
That's really strong.
For us, that's what, 2, 3, 4 on the list.
Yeah. At tight end, he got Pitts.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. Wow.
Yeah.
His receivers are nuts.
His left tackle is Slater. He's got Elijah Vera Tucker at left guard. He's got Landon Dickerson at center.
Mm-hmm.
Samuel Cosmi at right guard and Christian Darrisaw at right tackle.
The Cosmi thing doesn't fit, but pretty good line.
Best available. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Might put Slater at guard.
You can flip-flop those easily enough. At defensive end, he's got Kwity Paye and Jalen Phillips.
I like that a lot. They're my top two.
At defensive tackle, Davion Nixon and Milton Williams.
Yeah, not so great.
But. Yeah. His linebackers, Jamin Davis, Zaven Collins, Ronnie Perkins.
Wow. I mean, the first two. I mean, Perkins is more of an edge, but right.
The cornerbacks are Caleb Farley and Greg Newsom.
Hope Farley hits, but yeah.
And then his safeties are Trevon Moehrig and Richie Grant.
That's good, yeah. It's a good secondary, obviously. I don't know what team I prefer.
I think I prefer Mel's, actually.
Well, I made some picks I didn't like. He had 3 or 4 I didn't like.
I think taking Kadarius Toney 11,
that
didn't need to be done.
No.
Not with
Bateman and Marshall on board.
When Mel got Bateman at 30.
Yeah, right.
He took Terrace Marshall before he took Bateman.
So do you think picking one is a disadvantage?
To a certain degree, because, again, you have to take Trevor Lawrence.
You have to take Lawrence.
Yeah.
And then I would take Pitts.
But if I don't take Lawrence, if I force Mel then to take Lawrence, and I wait on my quarterback, I get Pitts.
And Fields.
And Field. Or I get Pitts.
And both of us would take Fields, too.
Or let's say, okay, so let's say we flip-flop that. And McShay takes Pitts 1.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then Mel's going to take Lawrence. Then he can come back and take Jamar Chase, or he can take somebody else.
I mean, I think the question is Lawrence, with all respect to him, he's an awesome prospect, is he worth the difference between the first pick and the 44th pick?
Right.
I mean, that's what you're doing.
That's what you're
here,
doing, yeah.
I mean, it'd be different if there was 3 or 4 owners in this.
Yeah. And again, you know, McShay took the first running back. Is the difference between Najee Harris and Travis Etienne
that great?
That great.
And he probably took Harris a little early, but also, I mean, at the second half of the draft, you got to start filling in your empty spots too.
Yeah. Now, I like McShay's cornerback duo.
A lot.
I mean, you get Surtain and Horn.
I don't love his pass rush, though.
I don't love his pass rush. I don't love his safeties. I like Holland. I have Holland as my number two safety.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's a nice addition.
Yeah. Is he that much? You know, Mel took Trevor Moehrig 22nd, and McShay got Javon Holland 43rd.
Mm-hmm. That adds up.
You know, Mel took Richie Grant 28th.
Mm-hmm. Toddles took Sisco ahead of Holland, though.
Right.
I mean, it didn't matter. He could take him anywhere he wanted. He knew Mel wasn't going to steal the other
right.
guy.
He knew he wasn't going to take one, so he could have flip-flopped that easily enough.
Is it cheating if you take 3 corners and only 1 safety?
I don't know. I guess you'd have to set ground rules.
I mean, can you take 2 tight ends? Can I take 5 quarterbacks if I want?
Well, I mean, we saw on both of these teams, guys took tackles and moved them to guard.
I mean, Cosby's not a guard.
Yeah, nobody took Davis, you know, or somebody like that.
I would like to wait. Like, if you knew that the results were going to be similar to this, I would probably take Elijah Moore before my second defensive tackle or second safety.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's the thing here. I mean, you know, if either one of these guys would have jumped on defensive tackles in the second round, you know, would you have flinched at that because it's such a weak position this year?
See, I thought about that. What's the strategy? If I like Barmore better, yeah. But do you think he's going to be a first-round pick when it's all said and done?
Might. Yeah. I mean, there might be somebody at the end. He's not going to be in the teens.
No.
If he goes somewhere in the 20s or 30s, okay.
I'm doing a mock as we speak. I'm going to finish tonight, and I think I'm going to put him 32nd to Tampa. He could learn from Namakong Su, and you know, they're not young.
Su's not young, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I just think the curious pick is Tony at 11.
I don't like that.
That's way early.
I don't love Todd's pass rushers either.
No. Taking Gregory Rousseau 17th.
Mm-hmm. Eh. I think it's a disadvantage to have one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Lawrence is awesome, and he can, I mean, if he's Mahomes, he makes a lot of problems go away. But that means, I mean, Fields could be better than him.
Yeah, could, I mean,
you know what I mean, like,
and so much of the, like, they're going to measure these against what their rookie years are now, and then determine who won.
Because there's so much of it is,
you know, Justin Jefferson had a great rookie season.
Yes.
Does that mean that he's better than the guys taken ahead of him?
Like, does Denver regret not taking him over Judy, which probably never even crossed their mind.
Right.
Rager versus Jefferson's a conversation.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
that they were a different tier. Like, that's like saying, man, they should have taken Claypool instead of Ruggs. Nobody thought of that. I mean, they were more than a round different.
You right.
know, that wasn't a Leaf versus Peyton Manning conversation. You know what I mean?
I do think it's interesting, though, that Miners was really, unless you consider Elijah Vera Tucker a true guard,
mm-hmm.
Miners was the only true guard taken.
And he's a center guard, too.
He's a center guard. Yeah. He didn't really snap at Wisconsin.
True. No, you're right.
I mean, really, he's a guard who can play center.
Yeah, right. Depends where he lands. Yeah. He might very well could be a guard in the next level.
I mean, do you think he's going to be the top guard taken in this draft?
I like that he's in that conversation because I really like him, and that affirms my thought that he's one of the top three interior guys, possible centers. Did Dickerson go? Yeah, all three of those guys went.
All three. Creed Humphrey, Landon Dickerson, Quinn Miners.
They all went ahead of a pure guard-only type. Hmm. Yeah. You know what would be fun is do something like combine last year and this year.
That's tough, though.
It is tough.
Because you've got a year of NFL tape on a guy, and some of these guys opted out.
They didn't even play.
How you rank them to Penei Sewell there? Like,
yeah, Caleb Farley.
Yeah.
Right, that's a good point. You know, along those lines, that's like the Darnold trade. Like, boy, I had a really high grade on him coming out of USC. Like, that is a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this NFL tape's a heck of a lot more valuable than what you thought of him when he was.
And it's not great.
When he was 20 or whatever
right.
at USC.
He's looking at his traits and.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, they still exist, but he could be mentally broken, you know.
Right. You don't know where he's at psychologically. In this
whole thing.
You know, he was seeing ghosts a couple years ago. Is mm-hmm. he still seeing ghosts? Are they bigger ghosts?
He was just going to blame Adam Gase for everything that went wrong with Sam Darnold.
Well, yeah.
You know, I mean, there's an argument.
Carolina,
there,
obviously,
yeah.
is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they gave up some pretty premium picks for that.
They did. But I felt like, here's my quick
take. And it's going to cost them $24 million, too, by the way.
It is. That's to me, is the bigger thing you gave up. A future second, if he's a starting quarterback, is cheap to me.
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
The fourth doesn't matter. But if you're the Jets, if we're having negotiations, I'm the Jets, I'm saying, we're going to draft a quarterback at 2. I'm not even going to hide it. But why would I give up Sam for anything more than a future third that I would get a year from now in comp anyways? Because he's going to make at least $10 million on the open market when we let him go.
Right.
I might as well hang on to him. What if Wilson stinks or
gets hurt,
yeah. or Baker Mayfield gets hurt and they come calling for Sam?
Because I'm going to have to sign a backup.
We don't have to sign a backup.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not going to give up on this guy. It could be a Sam Bradford deal where someone else gets hurt and they come give me a first for him because they don't want their season to go down the toilet. You know, so why am I giving you? I mean, you better give me more than a future third for him, or there's no reason for me to trade him.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I thought the draft thing here was interesting. And certainly,
yeah, it's a cool exercise. The
other guy we haven't talked about, Liam Eichenberg, going 29th.
As a guard. Which, like, him and Miners are interesting to me, too, because that means that those evaluators really like them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't let this guy pass. I'm even going to play him out of position.
Yeah. Too good of a player.
Yeah.
But that's going to do it for our show today. So for my partner, Matt Williamson, for Jacob Recht here on site, keeping us on the air, I'm Dale Lally. We want to thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.